The Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is a joyful night, and not for just one reason, multiple reasons. On behalf of Father Yurok, the pastor, and the entire parish, I welcome any visitors this evening, and likewise, it's good that we have our college students home on Christmas break. It's good that you are here with us. Your presence is one of the reasons that it is a joyous occasion. Blessed Sacrament is not just a church that people happen to find themselves in worshiping God occasionally or conveniently. No, we're a parish family. And when the family is together, it is a joyous celebration. As Father Yurok has said before, it's important to attend Mass at your home parish because just as when a family sits down for dinner and a family member is absent, their absence is felt. When I would come home from college or from seminary on Christmas break, I would naturally ask whoever was home when my other siblings would arrive. When is Sarah getting home? Or when is Brian returning? But we come together not just for the sake of coming together, but rather the source and cause of our joy. Tonight, a Savior is born. As the angel announced, "I proclaim to you good news of great joy." That line from the gospel was also the Alleluia verse preceding the gospel. Good news of great joy. The Latin translation reveals the significance of it a little bit more clearly, I think. Gaudium magnum. Magnum meaning great. And not just great as in other great things in life, but greatest or largest. Gaudium magnum. The greatest joy. Magnum, or magnum, carries with it a certain gravitas. This is no ordinary night or run-of-the-mill announcement. Not only is this news of great joy, but as we heard from the angel, great joy that will be for all the people. All people means every one of us. No one is excluded from this news. And part of the reason it is such good news is that it descends down beneath humanity in general. It touches down upon each and every one of us and applies to us personally. Again, let's recall what the angel announced. For today, a Savior has been born for you. God is speaking to us with the familiar form of the word you. In the most personal and intimate way, God is saying, you have a Savior. No one is shut out from this joy. All share the same reason for rejoicing, says St. Leo the Great. Let the saint rejoice as he sees the palm of victory at hand. Let the sinner be glad as he receives the offer of forgiveness. It's no secret, though. Many people fail to recognize they even have a need for a Savior. But this is partly why Jesus came. To reveal our need for Him. We're created by God and for Him. He doesn't just want us to save us from sin and death. He wants to establish union with Him. He wants to foster ongoing communion. Becoming man via the incarnation shows us this truth. Man constantly searches for meaning, answers to the most fundamental and important questions. Why do I exist? Not why do other people, I get that, but why do I exist? We often search in the wrong places, settle for answers or conclusions that don't truly satisfy, unless or until we realize the answer lies only with God. To realize that you're created for Him and that He desires you is to figure out the meaning of life. To know that God, the creator of all that exists, longs for you, well, that's a game changer. Gaudium magnum. That's news of great joy. The joyful news is that God became man 2,000 years ago because he wanted to correct any false notions, mistaken ideas about him, or mistaken ideas about ourselves, for that matter. Because even if we believe we're made for God, the devil loves to sow seeds of doubt. Yeah, I was created for God, but I've chosen against him so many times in the past that he's moved on by now. Yeah, God might desire me, but I've done horrendous things, and, well, I'm trapped by my own vices. I can't get back to God. I've tried. We look in the mirror, and what we see is so disturbing sometimes, we simply stop looking and keep ourselves distracted. Well, God became man to get our attention. And what's his name? It's Jesus. What's his name mean? God saves. Yeshua, which, if you recall, is close to the name God revealed, the name God revealed of himself to Moses at the burning bush. Yahweh. God is who is, the very essence of existence. Nothing is co-eternal with him. And Yahweh comes to save. So the name Jesus tells us two things: who he is and what he does. He is God, and he saves. You can think you can't be redeemed, or worse, that God still doesn't desire you. But don't ever underestimate God's power, or worse, underestimate his love for you. Yeah, but God has to love me. You don't think God is free to love? That's why the good news is of great joy. God chose to become man. And as Pope Francis said, there is a straight line from the manger to the cross. From the manger, where animals would receive their nourishment, to the Eucharist, where we receive our nourishment. The Eucharist, which we feed on. Christ willingly took on our lowly human flesh, and he willingly laid it down. The swaddling clothes that the infant Jesus was wrapped in prefigures the white linen cloths that he was wrapped in as he was laid in the tomb. From start to finish, his life on earth was a love story. A love this pure and perfect. A love for you. Can't but be of great joy. This joy entails a fullness, an intimacy, because our Savior came for me, for you. But it also has a permanency. How could it be magnum if it only existed when Jesus was on earth, or if it only lasted on Christmas Day? Jesus was not only fully human, he was fully divine. And divinity cannot pass away or transpire at an expiration date. Now, that's not what society believes. Sadly, the world we live in just goes through the motions. Do you think the outside world actually believes something has changed? How fast will the public Christmas trees come down? And how quickly will they remove the Christmas items from the shelves just to replace them with something else to put on sale next week? Christmas, in the eyes of the world, is something to lead up to. And then just, well, we have to return to our normal ways, as if nothing happened. But Christmas is just the beginning. The joy is to remain. If only we remained present to our Lord throughout the entire year, week in and week out. Yeah, that sounds nice, Father. But Christmas won't take away what I have to return to next week. The world is still a depressing place. I'm still lonely. My child is still away from the faith. My spouse and I, we're still struggling. I still mourn the loss of my loved one. You're right. Those things don't just vanish at Christmas. But guess what? Our Lord knows that too. But that's why he wasn't content to just come and leave us. Behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the presence of our Lord provides peace. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. He is still present, and he gives us his peace through the Eucharist. The continuous presence of the Eucharist on earth is Christ's love still at work in the world. To be reminded of Christ's lasting peace and permanent love for you, simply walk into the Adoration Chapel, kneel down, and gaze upon the Eucharist. That unassailable peace will overcome you. Gazing upon the Eucharist and allowing our Lord to gaze upon you allows his peace to enter your life. Your troubles will not just disappear, but they will be soothed, and his peace will comfort you because it is real. That's the good news of great joy, because today a Savior has been born for you.